You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hand.
I'll look up the Hand spell. And let's say it's a dot that lasts for 10 seconds.
30's more accurate.
And Hotbox.
You can actually feel the tip.
Just the tip?
Greetings and welcome to episode 90 of The Training Dummies, recorded on April 9th, 2015. My name is Daryl and I am fresh back from getting an untan in Mexico, where I also did join our raid team and snag some tier loot after doing only two bosses that night. With me this evening is my bro host with the most who, let me see if I get this right, did an impressive stream of consciousness on Monday, which was a solo episode, which came out very well, I think. Rob. And...
Actually, I need a round of applause after that.
Oh, you want that? Okay, here you go.
Thank you.
No problem.
And I put a little work into that.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
It's better that you're back, though, so I don't say that much.
With us tonight on our very first mage episode ever, I don't know how we've gotten this long without doing one before, but let's give a warm Training Dummies welcome to Trophy the Mage.
Hey guys.
Hey. You know, Hen's wife plays a mage. I don't know how we've gone nearly 3 years without doing a mage episode.
I have no idea either.
I wouldn't go as far as to say that mages need to be deleted, but I think, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
No, buff mages.
Okay, we'll buff mages.
Delete rogues. And then roll a new rogue and delete it.
Yeah, I came up with a group building exercise that we're going to do before raid tomorrow.
I think that's fantastic, by the way.
I think that each of us, before we start raid, we're either going to roll a rogue or a druid, and then we're going to immediately delete that tune, and then we're going to be good, and then we'll go in and kill bosses, and everybody will be hyped. Or if you already have a rogue or a druid, maybe one at level cap that you're using to steal my gear with, you can definitely delete that one instead.
Yeah, I have a bank alt rogue. Can I delete him?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Can I have your stuff?
Oh, it's going to be deleted, sorry.
So we know Trophy because he's another ringer, so to speak, that's come in and fought a couple fights with us and made us all look silly. And when the opportunity to do a mage episode came up, finally, after 3 years, because it never came up prior to this, we thought it just made sense. So, Trophy, I think what we're going to do, something totally different than we've ever done here before, we'll ask you a couple of interview questions, and then we'll get into the good stuff.
Well,
because we don't ever do that. So, because everybody wants to know, how, what, when, where did you start playing, and what is your current main?
Well, I started playing World of Warcraft after I graduated high school. This was back in, 2007. And I had a couple friends that played, and I always thought of them as nerds, and they're still nerds. But now I'm kind of joining them. So nice. I guess, let's see, this is right after the Burning Crusade came out. So I got to create a Night Elf Hunter in the Burning Crusade.
Oh, nice.
Because that's what everyone creates for the first character, right?
Yeah. A lot, dude.
I think so.
The misguided GRT.
You had to make a Night Elf Mohawk. I think that was...
Nice.
That was a requirement or something. So I made that, quickly hated it, and I rolled a mage and kind of never looked back. And that's always been my main. Trophy has been my main. He's gone through several races, character changes, even a faction change. I'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, he's always been my main, always been my baby.
Awesome. So what is the origin of the name Trophy?
So, as I said before, I made a mage, but it was a troll mage with some random name from the name generator. Yeah, I just clicked it until I got something that worked. Uh-huh. And when I got to level, I guess it was 70, and started raiding, I wasn't very good, so I was like, well, I'll try PvP, but I wanted to be undead for PvP, and they didn't have the, what's it called, race change yet. They only had the faction change that just came out, where you could like pay, I don't know, $30 or something to change faction. So my plan was, I'll just do that twice to get to an undead.
Oh, and, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that you know, 12th grader logic, you know, it was great. So
That's awesome.
Switched over to Alliance for, there was a cooldown of a month on the service, so.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And fun fact, I think the race change came out while I was in Alliance, so I could have just waited for, you know, a few months and had my wish. But, you know, that's life.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went back, I think my name was like Go Buy Water or something, just because, you know, it was an Alliance tune, who cares? And
that's exactly
true. Exactly. Who cares about them? And I saw this word trophy, T-R-O-P-H-Y, which, if you guys don't know, my name is spelled T-R-O-F-I-E, which is misspelling of trophy, of course. And I saw it somewhere, and I thought, oh, that's a fun name. So I entered it into the name box and hit enter, and for some reason that worked. And I've been trophy ever since.
Cool.
What would you say is your most fond memory in or because of Warcraft?
I would say it's because of Warcraft. It's going to BlizzCon. I've been to the past, I think, 3 BlizzCons, and every year has been better than the last. In fact, I got to meet Hend at the last one.
Oh my gosh.
We got Shared Greek. I'm looking forward to seeing him again this year and hopefully meeting Rob.
Rob, yes.
I'm hoping. I'm really hoping. It's
awesome.
It's not a no, but it's not a yes quite yet. So.
Yeah, I think that's my fondest. The fondest memories are hanging out with my friends.
Awesome. I'll just go with this question because I can't think of anything else right now. But garrisons, are they mandatory or optional?
It depends on what you're doing, I think. If you're leveling, it's kind of mandatory. If you're doing PvE, if you're raiding, there's not really a big point in garrisons unless you're doing alchemy cooldowns for your potions and flasks. And, you know, I don't know about PvP at all, but I assume they might use something in garrisons.
There is like a little plot that you can do that if you go and turn in these little broken bone things, it gives you all sorts of gear and throwaway stuff.
Yes, that sounds about right. I think I have that plot on like 2 of my alts, and I've never done a single thing with it. But yeah, it depends on what you're doing. Like the things I do right now are gold making and raiding. Raiding, I guess, is a priority. But for gold making, it's basically required because you need those cooldowns, you need the ores, you need the herbs, you need everything.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to change this question, but I still like this one. What's your favorite raid boss of all time?
My favorite raid boss of all time is the Lich King from ICC. I know he's a lot. It's kind of a standard, you know, cliched answer, but he was a really great boss, and I was with my first kind of quote-unquote serious raid team, where I really got into raiding. You know, our first night as a team, we pulled Lord Marogar, killed him, and we worked, you know, on Lich King for such a long time, and it was a lot of fun.
Lich King's a good one, man.
Like, yeah.
I was mentioning the other day that I didn't raid during Wrath, but I certainly ran ICC my share of times, and it's just such a great fight.
Yeah, and it was really well tuned at level too. It took a long time to get, you know, through all the mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think my favorite part of that fight was watching the I'm sure the video is still out there, but there's a raid strat called Wrath of the Tomato King, where a guy uses salt and pepper shakers and a tomato to represent the Lich King.
That's
what? Yeah. I'll have to look that up. Huh.
Yeah.
So this is our cheap replacement for the worst question on podcasting, but what is your favorite thing to do in-game right now?
Right now, it's raiding. When I get to log in 3 times a week for 3 hours each time and raid with my guild, we're pushing... no, not heroic anymore. We're pushing mythic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Blackrock Foundry. We just finished our heroic blast for, or not blast furnace. What's Blackhand? We just finished our heroic Blackhand kill a couple weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, so starting work on mythic, and it's really fun, and it's a great group of people, too.
I don't think our team's ever going to work on mythic. And that's fine.
No.
But
no.
Yeah, it's a whole another level of commitment and time that just, yeah. I salute you.
Yeah, and it's definitely a time commitment, and you know, you kind of can get at each other's throats, and it's pretty infuriating at times when you wipe on mythic Bracken Spore at, you know, 0.X% because of a rage that lasted too long. Yeah.
What do you think about no flying Draenor?
I like it. I absolutely love it.
I think I'm part of the minority then, because I just yeah.
We should be getting it makes back a world. Soon.
I don't know. It makes the world feel bigger. Like, Draenor feels bigger than Azeroth, just by having to, you know, move on it. I don't know, that probably didn't make sense.
No, it makes sense.
No, it makes sense.
You're just wrong, but it's cool. Well, let's see.
Are we going into ours? Nah, who cares what we did? Let's do this instead.
Holy crap. The Dummy Bag.
We actually got an email this week, and or I guess it was last week, or I don't know. It was about our monk episode we did about Windwalkers, and it says, "Hi guys, just wanted to write a quick thank you for putting together that episode about Windwalker monks. It's given me many, many things to think over and try out. I've dabbled with Windwalker spec off and on since MOP came out, but things are making more sense and doing more damage after I listen to your guest. Many thanks, Sarah." And thank you for writing in. That's very nice to hear that you've been able to take something from the episode. That's kind of what we hope anyway. But let's get on to the main topic after this.
This is V from Ask Mr. Robot, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Hend and Rob in Binary.
All right, Trophy. This is our first ever Arcane Mage episode, or first ever Mage episode. We've chosen Arcane, so it's up to you to make this a good one.
Oh.
the pressure's on.
The pressure's on. Hey,
you were actually telling me earlier, I was asking you about the different specs and kind of where they sit right now in Warlords. And you were mentioning really it being fight dependent. So depending what spec you want, it's going to be dependent on the fight. So
yeah, the right now Arcane Mage is about the best single target DPS spec you can get for bosses. So if you have like one boss in front of you and you're just putting spells into them and there's no adds, you go Arcane. Like on Gruul, on, I don't know, Flame Lord, what's her face?
Mm-hmm.
Just anything with single target is great.
Cro-Mag.
Yeah, well, Cro-Mag, I usually go Fire for that.
Oh, for the little grabby hands?
Yeah, the grabby hands are really... Hey, you call them grabby hands too, sweet.
Yeah, that's kind of what we call them, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but anything with, you know, about more than three adds that are going to be up for a while, then I usually go fire. Chromag, I mean, it doesn't. I can go fire or arcane. We're probably going to down it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But for mythic progression, I'll probably go fire. I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead.
Well, okay. All that, then, was to say that I think we kind of landed on arcane was for the best spec for this episode, I think. I don't know.
No, it's definitely the one that's most used right now. A lot of mages run with arcane just by default, and that's pretty much where they should be.
I think I went frost back in Pandaria when I first leveled my mage and kind of hadn't even thought about anything else mm-hmm. since then at that point. So I loved arcane and Kata. I loved it a lot, and not just, you know, there was the whole joke about it being the two-button spec back in Kata, and I think a lot of that has changed. Definitely changed to Mist, and I guess if you want to drive the bus here for a little bit, we can hear all about why arcane is the way it is, not the two-button job, I guess.
I can do that for you guys if you like. You want me to get in? I can get into all the nitty gritty stuff, all the stats, talents.
Yeah, targets. let's just start at the top then.
Okay,
yeah, let's go for the stats.
So for stats right now, what you want to get is intellect and mastery are the two biggest stats. I mean, intellect is kind of a, you know, you're not going to get a trinket with, you know, plus avoidance or plus damage reduction or plus stamina.
Or bonus armor.
Bonus armor. Oh, that's a good
one. That's shaman.
That's right. Sorry, I forgot. Yes, shaman. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you're a mage and you see a trinket or a neck piece with, agility on it, don't be a hunter. Don't take all the loot that's not yours. Just stick to your intellect, because, I mean, it gives you the best. It's straight damage boost. You know, every point of intellect goes to spell power goes to just raw damage. Our mastery is based on how much mana we currently have. So if you're sitting at 100% mana, you're going to do 100% of your increased damage from mastery. So if I have, say, 52% mastery, my spells are going to get hit 52% harder, I believe, if I have 100% mana. And, you know, diminishing returns from 50, 49, 48%.
That's crazy. That is a crazy mastery.
I believe, so if you're sitting, you know, however much mastery you have, if you hover over the little mastery icon, you'll see increases spell damage by X percent for mana. So with that being said, you always kind of want to stick around above 90% because you're going to get tons and tons of damage. Everything else, kind of haste is, I guess, the next one in the priority. And that's just kind of in that priority because it's the most beneficial because of evocation. Since evocation is such a long-lasting spell and it takes so long to tick, the more haste you have, just the faster you're going to get through those ticks of evocation and get back up to about 98% mana, so you can start casting again. As for the rest of them, you know, crit, multi-strike, versatility, they're really just all kind of bad for arcane mages. I guess, you know, if you look at any guide, you'll see crit, multi-strike, versatility as the priority, but I would say mastery and haste are the biggest ones to take. If you have a piece with mastery on it, take it, no matter what else it has. If you have a piece with mastery haste, great. So that, I think that does it for stats. Should we move on to talents, glyphs?
Yes, this is always one of my favorite parts of this, is going through every tier.
I like it, man. I like being able to just go down the list and see, because the talents are kind of what give each spec a little bit of flavor, I guess.
Yeah, and for mages, I mean, our whole thing is about talents, and we're so talented that, you know, so much stuff.
You carry everybody.
Nice. Yeah, right? Well done.
So let's just start right at the beginning, I guess. Level 15 talents. Mm-hmm. We have, of course, three choices, but I'm only going to, of course, pick the best one, which is Ice Flows. And have you guys ever used Ice Flows on your mage?
It's been a while, but I have.
It's probably one of the best talents in the game, I would say. It allows you to cast while moving, and it can be activated, or I guess it could be cast, while casting. So if you're charging up an Arcane Blast, and you need to move like right now, or you see something coming, mm-hmm. you can just hit your Ice Flows binding and start moving while still casting. So that's pretty cool.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah, and it has 3 stacks and a 20-second recharge. It's an amazingly overpowered talent for raiding.
I was going to say, that sounds like it has an awful lot of uptime. And then,
especially for level 15.
Yes. Well, for level 15, I mean, if you're a level 15 mage, you're killing stuff before it even gets to you.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think for if you're leveling, I think the way to go might be Blazing Speed, just because it gives you a short burst of speed. Mm-hmm. You know, makes not having a mount a little bit easier, I guess. And what's the other talent here? Evanescence? I don't even know how to say that.
Evanescence?
Because it doesn't matter.
Evanescence. Yeah, I would. I don't think I've ever taken the talent. I think I did once for PvP, and I didn't really like it that much. I might use it for something like if I'm the only one taking penetrating shots from the Iron Maidens, I might take Evanescence or Evanescence. Do you have a question, Rob?
No. Okay. No, trading shots threw me off a little bit.
Okay. So yeah, the go-to for level 15 for raiding is definitely ice flows. Absolutely. And then you have your level 30 talents. This is your damage reduction talent. So the kind of standard that most mages go by, myself included, is Ice Barrier. And it's good just because it blanket increases your max HP pool, basically. You know, it gives you a shield for, I don't even know, what's the tooltip say? You know, spell power times 4, or times 5% damage. So that's pretty good. It just, you know, stops you from dying to, or stops you from taking damage for a small tick. It's mm-hmm. just a good catch-all. Flame Glow is the other one that I think I've taken once in my life for challenge modes or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not a good talent to take for raiding, PvP, anything really. Ultra Time used to be a cooldown for all mages.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you guys have seen a big clock come over your mage's head after they blew all their cooldowns. That used to be you'd blow your cooldowns, and when you would use Ultra Time, it would take a snapshot of all those cooldowns and kind of save it. And when you activate it again, it would basically take you that back to that point in time where you had all those cooldowns running. So you'd mm-hmm. get an extra 5 or however many seconds. I think it was 5 seconds. So you get an extra 5 seconds on all your cooldowns, especially like Alter Time or Bloodlust, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really big thing. I think it's actually a very, very powerful tool for raiding, but you have to be able to use it effectively. So if you know you're going to be taking 90% damage at one spot, you can Alter Time right before it, take the damage, hit the Alter Time, and it just replenishes health now. So there's no cooldowns, no nothing. It's not a DPS increase anymore.
I know that the whole dot snapshotting and all that is not nearly what it was before. That's been mm-hmm. dumped down a lot. So I don't know if that maybe has an impact on this talent as well.
Not so much, because in 6.0, they changed Alter Time from taking a snapshot of all your buffs mm-hmm. to just taking a snapshot of your health and position. So there's no more cooldown. There's no more extra time on cooldowns. There's no stacking your cooldowns using it, all mm-hmm. that. So it's now just a survivability thing.
That's terrible.
So it's terrible, but it's great if you're, let's say, in Blackhand, you're on the last tier,
mm-hmm.
and he does his big smash and knocks everybody out. If you Alter Time right before that, he smashes you back, you Alter Time again, you're right back where you were at full health, or at whatever health you were at. Mm-hmm. Hopefully full if your healers are doing their job.
One job.
Yeah. One job. Play whack-a-mole. Mm. All right, I think that's enough for those. I would say level 45 is pretty irrelevant. The Ring of Frost, Ice Sword, and Frostjaw, I think I have Ring of Frost, and I don't even know what it's bound to. I never use it. It's not
nice.
It's, yeah.
I love talents it's like not, that.
Yeah, this whole tier is kind of like, they put, oh, what do we do with this? And I just put it in tier, you know, the 45 tier. So, it's, I mean, it might have one use at one point, but I haven't found a use for it yet. Nice. Level 60. Your level 60 talents are your survivability talents. So you have Cauterize and Greater Invisibility. Those are going to be the two that you're going in between. I always run with Cauterize because if the healers don't do their one job, then it gives...
Mm-hmm. Our mage runs with Cauterize as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think everybody knows that.
Yeah. Well, the add-on makes sure that everybody knows that.
Cauterizing, heal me up, please.
That's the one.
Yeah. I disable that whenever I can. So Cauterize is the way to go, just because, you know, if someone messes up and you die, you get a second shot. And you can ice block through the debuff that it's put on you, because it kills you, but it also, or, you know, revives you back to... gosh, what is it? 28% health? No, it brings you back to 35% health, but burns 28% over 6 seconds. But you can just ice block out of that, which is really nice.
Oh.
Greater invisibility is the second one that you'll go to on certain situations. So, like, if I'm taking the penetrating shot from the Iron Maidens, I'll grab greater invisibility because I can just ignore all that damage. It gives you a 90% damage reduction for 3 seconds, which is really nice. So yeah, 90% damage reduction. You know, anything that's targeted at you, you can just kind of soak it and take almost no damage. It's pretty great.
Nice.
But that's kind of a very niche talent. You only pick it for a couple fights in a tier. Let's see. Level 75, we have our, I guess, AoE talents. This one is greatly dependent on what fight you're fighting. I normally run with Supernova because it's just a good DPS cooldown that deals a fairly high amount of damage, and it works amazingly well with the level 100 talent Prismatic Crystal. Since the... let's see here. Yeah, the primary target taking the supernova will take 100% increased damage from it, which is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good if it's on Prismatic Crystal, because Prismatic Crystal takes 10% extra damage flatline, which is really cool. The other talent I'll go to is Nether Tempest. If there are, I think, 4 or more mobs in a... pack, then I'll go Nether Tempest, put them up on all of them, and it'll just deal insane amounts of damage. That's one of the tricks that arcane mages have for their AoE rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then if you want something kind of to just not worry about either of those, choose Unstable Magic. It's not too bad.
Passive.
It's passive. It's not that hard hitting, but it's not the best. Okay, level 90. We have our kind of damage increasers. So between Mirror Images, Rune of Power, and Enchantress Flow, you're going to be choosing between Rune of Power and Enchantress Flow because Mirror Image does not scale with your mastery. So in Frost, Mirror Image is definitely one of the best talents to take of those three because your images get your multi-strike. But for Arcane... your mirror images don't get your mastery.
That's a pretty big deal. Is there anything that would have given that away? I guess I just never realized that.
No, there's nothing in the tooltips or anything that say it gives it away. I think it's mainly Simcraft stuff I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
That says, I think they don't get your mastery. It would make sense if they didn't. But the what you're going to choose between is Rune of Power and Enchanter's Flow. Rune of Power is definitely the go-to talent for this tier. But the only problem is it requires you to stay in that kind of, what was it, 16-yard circle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're out of it for, I guess, you know, 5% of the fight, it's just going to be a detriment. So it's, you know, if it's a Butcher fight, if it's a Patrick fight, then Rune of Power, definitely. Like, I'll use it for about almost half the fights in Blackrock. Like, I use it for Gruul. I use it for Flamebender Karaz. I use it for who else? I've been starting to use it for Hans and Franz. But otherwise, if you're going to be moving a lot, you go on Cantor's Flow, because it's a little bit less overall damage. But since you're moving around, if you're going to be moving around so much, then it's going to be a lot better than trying to place runes everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I've also heard that the Rune of Power looks very similar to the Beast Lord's pinned targeting icon on the ground.
Yeah, I've seen a few mages fall to that.
I've heard that before from someone.
You've heard that?
I've heard that. Yeah. So
yeah. So if your mages are getting pinned, tell them to switch to Enchanter's Flow. Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely an issue where you have to be staring at the ground sometimes. And you do run into that issue where it's, oh, it looks just like this mechanic.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, in that case, choose Enchanter's Flow, or you can always learn the difference between the two. Which,
go for it.
No, it's easier to blame bosses.
Exactly.
Okay, level 100 talents. So we have three pretty good damage increasers. I'd say the go-to, the, you know, Spark Notes version is Go Prismatic Crystal. It's great for single target. It's super good for AoE fights because what it does is when it takes damage, it spreads that damage out to everyone an 8-yard radius. So if you have, you know, 5 mobs, all the damage is going to be spread between them. All of your single target spells, which do really good damage, because, you know, mages are the best, or arcane mages are the best single target guys, that spreads it out there so we can do some more AoE damage. And not only that, but it also takes, I think, an additional 10% damage from your spells. No, I'm sorry, it doesn't do it. 30%, I'm seeing on the tooltip.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, an additional 30% damage from your spells spread out to all enemies in 8 yards. And if there's, like, just one boss there, it's taking all of that damage.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's just a straight 1.5 minute, 30% damage increase, which is amazing. If you aren't running Prismatic Crystal, you're either running Overpowered or Arcane Orb, because those are the other two talents. I usually run Overpowered because I get lucky sometimes with RNG. And it'll give me a longer arcane power if I'm using Overpowered and get those arcane missiles. Because as you guys know, but in case anyone else doesn't, Overpowered increases the duration of your arcane power by 2 seconds after casting arcane missiles. Arcane Orb is the last one, and I'm not a huge fan of it. I've never been able to use it successfully. You know, I've never really been able to, like, use it enough to get enough practice on it to use it successfully. But it'll shoot an orb out, kind of like the Diablo mage or wizard, I guess. He shoots a big orb sometimes. I've seen movies. So it travels in front of you, deals damage, and whenever it hits an enemy, it gives you an arcane charge. So instead of firing off 4 arcane blasts to get those 4 debuff charges, you can just launch 1 arcane orb into a mob and have a full stack. So it's a good way to get your stack back up after you clear them. So I would say my go-to is Prismatic Crystal. If you're not using Prismatic Crystal, use Overpowered. And I'll get back to using Prismatic Crystal when we talk about glyphs and some cooldowns. All right. So, should we move on?
Yeah,
to glyphs. Talk about some, maybe some glyphs.
What are
sounds glyphs? Good.
All right. So, for glyphs for Mage, there's not really that many, I would say, are amazingly good. People would think that you want to use Glyph of Arcane Power at all times. That's the glyph that doubles the duration and cooldown by 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and Arcane Power is really good because it increases your damage by 10%. I think it's 10 or 20%, and it decreases the cost of all your arcane spells by 10%, which is really nice. But the only problem is, if you have the Glyph of Arcane Power and you're using Prismatic Crystal, your Arcane Power and Prismatic Crystal are now going to be off cooldown by, by 1.5 minutes.
Oh, it messes up there, the way they line up then.
Yeah, so your Prismatic Crystal and Arcane Power have a cooldown of 1.5 minutes for each of them. Mm-hmm. If you use the Glyph of Arcane Power, your Arcane Power now has a cooldown of 3 minutes, when your Prismatic Crystal still has a cooldown of 1.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So so if you want to get the most DPS, you actually don't use the Arcane Power glyph, but you just line up Prismatic Crystal and Arcane Power at the same time. If you're not using Prismatic Crystal, however, Glyph of Arcane Power is great, especially with Overpowered, because that just gives you a lot longer time to get those Arcane Missiles and keep increasing that duration. If you're using Prismatic Crystal, don't use Glyph of Arcane Power. If you're not using Prismatic Crystal, use the glyph. The other glyph I would say is most important is the Glyph of Rapid Displacement. And all that does is just give you an extra charge of Blink. And I'm sure if anyone has ever played a mage, you guys know how wonderful Blink is. Just an instant teleport 15 yards away. It's really great, especially for raiding, especially for PvP, especially for everything. So having two of those is just amazing. Other than that, the third slot, I usually put Glyph of Arcane Explosion just because I don't know what else to put. There's really nothing else that stands out.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not running the Glyph of Arcane Power, I'll run the Glyph of Cone of Cold, just because, I guess, why not? You know, it's part of my AoE rotation.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a spot filler. There's really nothing else that's amazingly good. And there's only one minor glyph that might be good, and that's called the Glyph of Momentum. So usually when you blink, you'll blink forward in the direction you're facing 15 yards. With Glyph of Momentum, it'll be the... Instead of blinking forward, you'll be blinking the direction that you're moving.
I actually love that.
Yeah, so if you're strafing...
So if you're strafing and you hit blink, you'll strafe to the right or left or whichever way you're strafing instead of going straight forward.
Nice.
Which I've been told I need to get that glyph and start using it, but I don't know. I have my blink macro to my Z button.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm strafing left and I want to blink that way,
it's like it's a weird finger.
You can get your thumb there. Like...
But how am I going to jump while casting ice lances?
Jumping is important.
Yeah, jumping is important. It's just so much more natural for me to jump, turn my camera, blink, and then turn back. You know, and doing all this, you know, moving... I have ice flows going on, so I can just keep casting while moving, which is amazing. But I think that's about it for all the glyphs. So, you know, Arcane Power when you're not running Prismatic Crystal, I guess Explosion, whatever else you want. I guess maybe Ice Block might be good.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what you're doing. And then Momentum, if you can stomach it.
If you can stomach
it. Yeah.
I can't. Dude, that's such a rad glyph. I love that.
And I don't play a mage, so...
yeah.
All right.
But your wife does, dude.
She does.
You play one by proxy, I guess, right?
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on to the single target here. So, apparently it's not like 1-1-1-2-1-1-1-1-2. So if that's not what it is, what is it?
Well, all right, thanks for having me, guys. Good night. I guess I'll see you later. No, it's essentially it's kind of stayed the same by casting your 1 and 2s being arcane blast and arcane missiles. And really, I mean, when you're doing the burn phase, that's pretty much all it is. You're just casting arcane.
Shit.
Yeah, you're casting arcane blast until you hit 50%, then going back to full with evocation. No, but seriously. So single target. Let's start on that. So pre-pull, you have your runes of power down if you're using them. You pre-pot about 2 seconds before the pull, and then you start you pre-cast arcane blast, of course.
I just want to point out that I don't trust my tanks and their pull timers, so I pre-pot at 4 seconds.
That's totally fair. I always pre-pot. I usually start pre-casting, forget that I haven't pre-potted, and then jump and pre-pot and start casting again. So, that happens.
Nice.
So, about 1.5 seconds before the pull, start casting Arcane Blast so you can really start topping those meters. It's really important to be on top of the meters at all times. So,
that's probably the most important thing you've said tonight so far.
Yeah, what can I do?
It resonates with all of us.
So, after the tanks pull aggro off you because they hadn't pulled yet, they pull all the aggro off the healers because they've been healing you because you pulled the boss. Go ahead and get up to 4 charges of arcane charge. I'm sorry, 4 stacks of arcane charge. And you get stacks of arcane charge by casting arcane blast. So when you cap out at 4 stacks, your arcane blast is going to be cost 50% more per cast, but it's going to deal additional 50% damage. So you're going to have tons of damage going out. Hopefully you'll have stacked up some arcane missiles procs. You'll get those big glowy side pulsing things on your screen that Blizzard so kindly put in there. And then it gets a little bit complicated. If you're below 93% mana, you want to launch...
It's very, very specific.
It is. It's actually very, very scientific. I actually have a weak aura I can link in the show notes if you'd like. That just tracks your mana percent, which I use. That's all I'm focused on through the whole fight, is my mana percent. So if you're below 93% mana, then you use any arcane missiles you have. Whenever you have more than 93% mana, you use arcane blast, kind of as a rule of thumb. I almost forgot. When you have the 4 stacks of arcane charge, go ahead and use your use your prismatic crystal, use your arcane power, and when both of those are on, make sure you're using supernova on your prismatic crystal so that you can get the most damage on there. And if you're not using crystal, then don't use prismatic crystal. Just throw all your damage on the boss. So we're going to throw all of our damage on there. We're going to use Arcane Blast if we have more than 93% mana. Use Arcane Missiles if we have less. And then what we're going to do is keep hitting that boss or Prismatic Crystal until... If you're hitting Prismatic Crystal, you want to wait until there's about less than a second left, and then use your Presence of Mind to squeeze in one last Arcane Blast on that crystal, because it's going to, of course, do a lot more damage than just hitting it otherwise. You use Arcane Blast until you hit about 50% mana. At that point, you want to use your Evocation, and that what it'll do is it'll start ticking up your mana. You'll go to about 82-83%, and then up to 93-94% on the next tick. So you just want to let it last 2 ticks, so you can get up to about 94-96, 98, somewhere around there. And then you start casting for your conserve phase. Make sense so far?
So with the evocation, mm-hmm. I remember before also, maybe this is just Frost, maybe I don't know. I thought it gave you some sort of buff when you had it. After you casted it, you got like a 60-second buff or something.
That was true pre-6.0.
Okay.
So, yeah, okay. It used to have, that used to be our big damage increase buff.
Okay.
And Blizzard went ahead and got rid of that. So yeah. this one it actually benefits to have four stacks of arcane charge,
mm-hmm.
use evocation for two ticks, and then tick, sidestep or move a little bit so that it cancels it after those two ticks, because you don't need to have it channel the whole time to get to waste time on getting mana that you already have.
Right, and if you hit a point where you're at 100% mana and it's still channeling, then you're
just wasting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what are you going to gain? More mana?
Yeah, right.
Like, can't I hold all this mana? So.
Because your hands are tiny.
Yeah, so now after your vacation, all your stuff is on cooldown. All your big blow-up damage things are on cooldown. And then you start your conserve phase. So what you want to do is, it's kind of the same as burn phase, but it involves dumping your arcane charges. So same rules apply. You're at 100% mana after evocation. You're at zero stacks of arcane charge. You queue up arcane blast, keep smashing that one button until you get up to four stacks of arcane charge. And then if you have arcane missiles and your mana is below 93%, cast them off. If your mana is above 93%, use another arcane blast. When you have no stacks of arcane missiles and your mana is below 93%, you're going to use arcane barrage to clear your stacks and start all over. And by the time you finish casting your first arcane blast, your mana will be close to 100%. So that's kind of the basics of the conserve rotation. While you're doing your conserve rotation, your supernova is going to come off of cooldown, one of the charges of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to use one of those charges if you're using prismatic crystal and not using that arcane power glyph.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you can use one of them, and then you'll want to wait on the second charge because when the arcane power and the prismatic crystal come up, you'll have two stacks of supernova to hit that, which is really, really big damage increase. Otherwise, I use it when I'm pretty topped up on mana, just for extra damage. And that's pretty much the single target rotation. I guess if you guys want a Cliff Notes version, it's keep mana above 93%, use arcane missiles when below, use arcane barrage to dump it if you're below 93 and don't have missiles to hit. When evocation comes off cooldown, be ready to burn again.
So is there ever a scenario where you are just unloading and you're not concerned about your mana? Or is that mana always your measuring stick as to what you need to do next?
It's the thing. Yes, it is definitely the measuring stick. It's the deciding factor in everything you do.
Hmm.
It decides whether you're going to pop a cooldown, pop a trinket, use the next spell in your arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
I would go and burn through all my mana as fast as possible. If the boss is at like 2% and he's about to enrage and I don't have time, ain't nobody got time for evocation.
Right, right.
Yeah, right, yeah. So that's when I'll dump all my damage as quickly as possible. So if I know I'm going to die soon, if I am the bomb and I'm going to die soon, then I just dump everything you can. Get as much damage out there as possible.
Yeah, that makes sense then. When you're just, you don't, no concern for trying to min-max, you just need to get it out there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, that was... No, I was just going to say, that was a lot more complex than I expected.
You know, it sounds complex, but I think a lot of the things that he's saying are, you know, when you talk about arcane power and some of these other cooldowns that are, mm-hmm. you know, even a minute and a half cooldown or something like that, I feel like, you know, the root of arcane mage sounds like it's still really similar to what it's kind of always been.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The missiles and arcane barrage and arcane explosion and, you know.
Yeah, really, you just have three buttons with about five other things to click. And that's really it. And then I guess another thing that I didn't touch on that I should have, if you have arcane orb fired off after you use your arcane barrage so that you can get up to those four arcane charges quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And, gosh, there was another thing that was on the tip of my tongue. I had it.
I'll think of it.
Yeah, just the tip of my tongue. I'll probably think of it after we're done recording.
Nice.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That was one of the best.
It's always how it works. Yeah. Trinkets. That's right. So all these things are 1.5 minute, 3 minute cooldowns that we have. Mages don't really have a 2 minute cooldown unless it's a on use trinket or something.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an on use trinket and you have your 3 minute cooldowns, you don't need to worry. People worry, you know, oh, I want to line it up for this particular part in the fight, or I want to make sure I have all these up at, you know, a certain point. For me, they all line up eventually. I mean, if I have, you know, a 1.5 minute cooldown and a 2 minute cooldown, they're going to line up within a couple cycles of each other,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. After about 3 cycles of the 2 minute one, and what would that be? 4 cycles of the 1.5 minute one.
Mm-hmm. So like twice in a fight.
Yeah, something like that. They're all going to line up eventually again, because it's, you know, 2 minute and 1.5 minute. It's going to line up at the 6 minute mark, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just burn them all at once at the beginning, top those meters and stay on top.
So it's easier to get ahead and stay ahead than it is to try and catch up.
You know, here or there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so how is the AoE cooldown different?
AoE is pretty feeble for arcane mages right now, I tell you that much.
Just like Destruction really, Warlocks.
Yeah. Sure, why not? I have no idea what.
No, that's terrible. Trust me, it's terrible.
Oh, really?
It's terrible.
All right. We'll just use. Just play some Hearthstone with Warlock. You'll do great damage.
There you go.
Okay, so a mage, really, we only have a few things for AoE, for Arcane, and that's Supernova. It, you know, deals damage in a 8-yard radius. It's pretty good for hitting lots of guys. We have Nether Tempest, which is actually pretty good. That's our other talent. That's one of our talents. Use it if you have, you know, when you have 4 arcane charges, so you want to build up all those arcane charges before using Nether Tempest, because it'll benefit from those from that damage increase. So put that on all the targets you possibly can. Arcane Orb hits some things as well, so that's another talent you can go into if it's an AoE fight. Arcane Barrage does cleave on its own, which could be good for AoE, but it does it on its own, so
if it's an AoE fight, you should be considering a different spec, though, right?
Yeah, I was gonna. I'll get to that in just a minute.
Okay,
so, see it in the notes.
Yeah, and the last one we have is the good old Arcane Explosion, which actually does pretty good damage for lots and lots and lots of mobs. So if you can throw out some arcane explosions, you can be getting like 60, 70k damage on those, which is great.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's actually pretty nice if, you know, the adds up to Orc Orger or something, those mm-hmm. little trogs, you can just arcane explosion those guys, and they'll take a lot of damage.
Nice.
Another thing to use if you know you're going to be doing some AoE in a fight is take the Glyph of Cone of Cold.
Mm-hmm.
Because arcane mages still have access to that spell, and the Glyph of Cone of Cold increases its damage by 200%, and it's just too good to pass up. You know, you bind it to something, throw Cone of Cold whenever you can on the mobs, and you'll do some definite damage. But I would say if you're going to be progressing in a fight, or if you're working on a fight that is definitely cleave-heavy, such as Iron Maidens, Beastlord Darmak, I would even say the Grabby Hands guy, you're probably going to want to go Fire over Arcane. yeah, and at higher gear levels, it's actually better to go Mastery with Fire instead of Crit. Just because of the way Mastery works and the 4-piece and 2-piece work with Fire. So yeah, that's basically, I mean, AoE just isn't that great for Arcane Mages, but if you have to, throw all the spells you can hit multiple targets.
Nice. We may we may need to do a Fire Mage episode here pretty soon then, huh?
Yeah. That's more buttons.
Might.
More buttons. So nice. if you were gonna pick, just like if somebody had no idea what they were doing, it used to be that Frost was kind of the leveling spec, I guess. The leveling and PvP, and then in Mists, I believe Frost became like way more viable, and that was like the way to go. How would you describe the three different specs right now?
Three different specs right now, if you just hit level 100 and you want to do some good damage, go Frost. That is the kind of, it's a good introductory spec to mage playing. Although if you've been playing Frost the whole time, your whole mage career, pick something else. All the specs are really fun. So I'd say Frost is pretty good for the low 600 eye levels. It's good for dungeons and stuff. It just does enough damage to do it. Mm-hmm. Once you get some gear, Fire and Arcane are pretty much on par with each other, I would say. You know, Arcane obviously better for single target, Fire definitely better for AoE. It just depends on whatever you want to run. If you're running Fire, go to Icy Veins or Ask Mr. Robot. Get your stat priorities done, though, because they're definitely different at lower gear levels.
That makes sense.
But all specs, I think all specs are amazingly fun to play, and they're all completely different. I mean, playing Fire and playing Arcane are two hugely different beasts. I usually have to run a dungeon or an LFR in order to get used to them before pulling, if I haven't done one in a while.
Yeah, I know they're way different. I leveled one time as Fire in doing mainly dungeons with a friend of mine, and I had a ton of fun, and then I left that alt alone, didn't touch it for a while, and I came back and I had absolutely no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, well, with Fire, it's just a different way of playing, and it's still really fun.
Would you consider low-level leveling, say, like, anything pre-Kata, would you consider that a different, like, go Frost, or...
You know, to be honest, I don't know. I haven't leveled a mage in a long time. Well, I guess since Warlords of Draenor came out, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but when I was leveling up my mage in the Burning Crusade, it was Fire all the way for leveling. I hear that, you know, I've heard rumors that Arcane is really good now for leveling. I've heard that Fire is good. I've heard that Frost is good. Play whatever you have fun with.
Yeah.
I think I just went Frost because of the... it felt like I had a little more control.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
And I think I picked that up from Hoofit. He was always you can Frost Nova these guys into place, and they don't even come anywhere near you, and you just nuke them real quick before, you know. And it's really, really easy while you're out questing. You know, you can just handle it, so...
Yeah, it depends on what you want. If you want I think Frost is a pretty consistent spec. Mm-hmm. It's very like you can probably kill those guys, probably going to do fine. Fire, you know, it's very crit dependent, so you might get lucky and just, you know, one shot something and it'll be amazing, but you're going to get those times where they're going to be wailing on you and you're going to be, you know, punching them with a wet noodle.
We've heard that term lately about other classes, too.
Yeah.
It's possible.
And Arcane's good, but it's not very mobile. And when you're leveling, you want to be as mobile as possible.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I did not mean to derail what you were saying, so...
Well, we got cooldowns. You've gone through a lot of the cooldowns already, but do you want to just run through them one more time, the major cooldowns that you might be looking at?
Sure. Your major cooldowns, just alone without any talents, are Arcane Power and Presence of Mind. Those are really your only two big ones that you need to worry about. Arcane Power, of course, you're going to be using with Prismatic Crystal, the level 100 talent, if you pick it. You're going to use it when it's off cooldown. It just adds ton of damage to your spells. Presence of Mind gives you an instant, makes your next mage spell below 10 seconds instant cast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great if you have, if your arcane power is just running out, it's great to just throw one last arcane blast in there for that extra damage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good way to sneakily get one more cast off. I usually use it in that way. So I don't think it's good to use just on cooldown. I think it's great to use when you can use it.
Right.
Or when it would be beneficial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, you have Prismatic Crystal and Supernova are pretty big ones themselves. Those are talented ones. Prismatic Crystal, we've gone through that. It takes 30% more damage and it distributes it out in an 8-yard radius.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be using that on cooldown if you are talented into it, because it's just so much damage for free. What's the other one? Supernova. You use both of them on your Prismatic Crystal. Use one of them while it's recharging, and then by the time two are up, Prismatic Crystal's back up, and you are just rocking and rolling super hard. Other than that, that's pretty much our big cooldowns. It's just those four, I guess Arcane Orb too, if you're using that, but that doesn't really have a huge cooldown on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are the kind of main cooldowns we're using.
Mm-hmm. So what are some advanced tips and tricks then? Like you mentioned your POM sniping, but what else is there that we could be doing?
So, sniping Presence of Mind is great. Really, there's not a whole lot I can think of for arcane mages specifically as far as advanced tips and tricks. As far as mages go by themselves, mages have become kind of a Swiss Army knife mm-hmm. type class, where, it's usually the hunters and the rogues that go do the, go do the belts on a Siegecrafter, or, go take care of the, whatever that thing Imperator Markok puts on you. But now mages can kind of, with these ice flows, with the rapid displacement, they can kind of be those guys that handle those special situations. So be well-versed in your class, and one of the tricks I learned to learning every single button, if you want to learn every single button in your spellbook, go into Battlegrounds. And as much as I hate PvP, learning all of your buttons in your spellbook is great, is amazing. Because you will be... one way to get guaranteed a raid spot is to be the guy who can handle anything they throw at him. Oh, we need someone to get this shield. To absorb all this damage. Mage has got it. You want to be that guy.
Or if you're on our raid team, then you can have a raid spot and it kind of doesn't matter if you know what's going on.
Just need to show up.
Yeah, be reliable.
Yeah, no kidding. But if you're trying to get into a more harder core progression-based guild,
mm-hmm.
it's always good to have to stand out, really. I guess also advanced tips and tricks, use add-ons. Please use add-ons to help you, because they're there to help. They don't make the game any harder, really, unless you're absolutely insane about them and, have 20 million on your screen. But I would say probably the best add-on I've ever used is Weak Auras. So if you,
I was just gonna say, I want to quote Hind on something here, and you tell me what you think. Our good buddy Hind, across the table over here, says Weak Auras are for the weak. What do you say about that?
I you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, however wrong it may be. I use Weak Auras on any class that I'm raiding on, and I have ones built up for fire, I have ones built up for frost, I have ones built up for arcane, ones that yell at me if I'm, you know, not in my rune of power, I have ones tracking my ignite stacks for fire. It's, you know, set some stuff up for yourself. I have mage Weak Auras over on my website. There's tons of stuff you can do with Weak Auras. It's a very, very powerful, lightweight add-on.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that?
Yes, yeah, I did.
We need to get Hend the correct Weak Auras. Once he sees them, he'll know.
Yeah. I am actually using some on my Shaman right now for healing, specifically to track my conductivity and healing rain uptime to see if it's still going and how much time I have left on it. So I'm using it for that, for sure. But yeah. That's
about it. Yeah, and you don't need to use it for everything in the world. I mean, as long as you can get some use out of it, mm-hmm. I'd say it's probably the most powerful one you know add-on you can have.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. Well, this here I had changes in 6.1, but I think that's just from old notes, unless there's anything you got to add there.
Actually, Mage's got a great, great boost in 6.1. The Blood Elf models. got updated. I have very big problems with 6.1. I think it was really just, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
It's all right. I think, you know, we go through a lot of ups and downs, and I don't know what people are thinking sometimes.
Yeah. Well, before we start closing this out here, is there anything you want to add about mages? Or Rob, do you have any questions about arcane mages at all?
No, I was telling Trophy earlier that my mage was one of my last tunes that I leveled through Pandaria, and it was really, not hard, but like, I don't know, man, it just like, was kind of not my funnest thing ever, so I don't know. I guess I need to see. I want to level it. I think, and I actually really enjoyed arcane back in Kata. That may have been the the height of the arcane for me personally. So I don't know. Maybe it'll be. You could kind of pull that out and give them make that 630 staff. You know, I like that whole thing. Just renew the experience for me, I guess. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. And mine's level 28. Though it is arcane, it's level 28.
Nice.
So, but I haven't touched it in probably 2 years.
All right.
Well, let's keep rolling then.
Don't try to tank in healing gear.
Unclaimed mail will be deleted after 30 days.
Always check your loot spec before a boss fight.
Things I learned the hard way.
Trophy, is there anything you have learned the hard way?
Yeah, I definitely learned what a healer is the hard way. Would you like me to elaborate?
Yes, please.
So, when I first started playing World of Warcraft, I was this troll mage running around, and I was in the crossroads, and we had good old Baron's chat, right?
Ah, Baron's chat.
And I saw people typing in kind of caps, but I didn't know, it didn't look like they were yelling anything. They said, LFMWC need heals. So I whispered at the guy, and I was like, hey, what's WC? He's like, Wailing Caverns. It's an instance. And I had done Ragefire Chasm before.
Yep.
Or whatever it is. And it was fun. And I was like, oh, cool. I can get some, you know, good gear and some experience, especially leveling up. But I didn't know anything about group composition. I didn't know anything about roles. I didn't even know you needed, like, to be a certain level or have a, you know, spec or anything like that. So I said, oh, I'll go. And I said, oh, can you heal? It was, you know, some guy asking a mage if they could heal.
Nice.
And I replied yes, because I did pick up first aid, and I had bandages, you know.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So I get into this group, and I'm there for about 3 minutes when I see, you know, blue chat or whatever, you know, color the chat was pop up, and he said, well, I thought we were going to get a healer, and there was all this confusion, and then finally it was said, mages can't be healers, and then I was kicked immediately.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
and then I got this, no problem.
I got bandages. I just got some wool cloth. I can create some woolen bandages.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. I want a big time.
Sweet. Rob, what do you got?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I played so many tunes this week that Kranos was tanking some dungeons for me, and I just played everything, and I realized, like, I'm not the pro status alt dude that I used to be, so I don't know. I can't even give you anything specific right now, but I can assure you that I have made some mistakes.
All right. Well, I have one. This is on my paladin. This was a week and a half ago. I think I have a bard in my garrison, and I wanted to upgrade it to level 3. So I went to the blueprint vendor, bought the pattern for the blueprints for level 3 bard, and right-clicked them to learn them, went to the table to upgrade it, and it wouldn't let me upgrade it. So what's going on? I just learned this. And it took a minute to realize that I didn't learn it. I sold it back to the vendor. That's one thing. So I went back, bought it back from the vendor, closed the vendor, learned it, went back to the table to upgrade my barn to level 3, and it still wouldn't let me upgrade it. So what's going on? So, in case you didn't know, you cannot upgrade a barn from level 1 to level 3 without doing level 2. So, yeah, my barn was only level 1. So after that, I did go and buy the level 2 plans. And then I was able to upgrade it to level 2, and after an hour, level 3. But yeah, that was... I've never had so much trouble upgrading something in my garrison before, and it was two things all within 5 minutes. yeah, it was
That's
all
why
good.
They're required.
There's another segment. I guess we'll put this in here, but we're thinking of doing another new segment called "Had One Job," and the reason is twofold. I guess it's kind of a funny segment to do, and. It's a common theme in our raids about Had One Job. In fact, this week, this past week, we have created a new guild. The guild name is Had One Job. And one of the most fitting things about it is I was the one who created. I got the guild charter. And I had 5 other people sign the charter, 4 other. Rob was one of them included. And the next day, we invited someone to the guild from the old guild. And she pointed out, you had one job, to capitalize the J. It's like, what do you mean, capitalize the J? Of course it's capitalized. It's not capitalized. I had one job, to spell the guild name correctly, and I couldn't do it. So we're just going to leave it, because she actually thought it was on purpose. But it wasn't. It was entirely unintentional. I just screwed it up. Anyway, I had one job, and I couldn't do it. I just thought it was fitting that's the name of the guild, and I managed to screw it up like that, but we're going to leave it like that because it's too perfect.
Because you had one job.
Because I had one job. So anyway, if anyone else has one job that they would like to send in, please do. We'll read it on the show. We're considering making a fancy segment bumper for it, too. We just didn't have time yet this week. But anyway, yes. Do either you have one job you'd like to share, or should we just close this out?
No, I wasn't quite prepared.
I was going to put it in the notes. Sure. I was going to put it in the notes, but I forgot that one job.
Yeah, we'll probably, I don't know, I imagine we'll come up with a gate bumper and all that
stuff. Yeah.
I actually got one, if you don't mind me sharing.
I would love Please do.
So when my guild first started pulling Brackenspore back in Heimal, I was... You know, we had the hunters on flamethrower duty, and I guess when one of the hunters left to, you know, they had to leave early or something, I was put on flamethrower duty, and I was so excited that I actually forgot to pick up the flamethrower. So it was definitely like I was running over to the moss, I was hitting my extra action button key, and then running away, and everyone was like, what's happening? So, that was my one job.
You had one job.
That's awesome. All right. we'll close it out with that then. Hey, don't matter that you're out of town. He's got some shit else to send over. So let's turn it all around. And scoot in a little bit closer. I just want to use All right, we've got some hand love here. To our guildies in the guild had one job on the Deathwing server. To our friends over at Catalyst Gaming Media and D20 Crit. And, of course, I've got some hand love for Trophy for coming on the show this evening and talking all about Arcane Mages. That was really good. I'm considering leveling my mage, so this will definitely be helpful for me, and hopefully it'll be helpful for others who listen as well. Rob.
Yeah, I'm always glad.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
Definitely the whole guild things turned out pretty great. You know, I'm excited that we pulled it off, and it's actually been really fun, and we've moved back into progression rating from regression rating, and I don't know, at the end of the day, if you're not having fun, then there's kind of no point. So I'm glad that what we're doing is good and that we're able to kill some bosses. Thanks, Trophy, for coming on tonight. I really, really appreciate that because even though I may not have the time or energy to play a lot of alts, I still am genuinely interested in them, and I do end up leveling them, so it's good. Been kind of looking at the mage, giving him the side eye a little bit, and just not really sure. And some of what you said tonight made me really want to go back in and maybe pull out the arcane, try that for some leveling, see how that feels.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah. If nothing else, I like leveling through dungeons, so even if questing kind of sucks, you know, I like doing that. It's fun, so.
Yeah, go for it. Just keep playing whatever feels fun.
That is exactly right. I've said that a ton of times, and unless it's a rogue or a druid, then play what you think is fun. Trophy, what about you? Do you have any shout-outs?
Yeah, I'll do a shout-out to my fellow mages, Silky and Z, in my guild Reforged, as well as my old buddies and good old Horseshoes and Hand Grenades.
Awesome. That's a great name.
Well, before we wrap this up, can you let everyone know where they can reach you? If you got Twitter, you mentioned your website, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. You can always find me over on Twitter at the handle @TrophyTheMage, or on the website magesguile.com, where I write about WoW, mages, and gaming in general.
Awesome. That wraps up episode 90 of the Training Dummies. 90.
We're getting there.
We're like a super old man now. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, so please consider giving us a review, good, bad, or otherwise. You can follow the Twitter, and we will keep you informed on all of the things. The show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland. Hind is at Hind_TTD. And Kim, who we hope to hear from again really soon, she's been busy with the IRL and the babies and all that good stuff. We should hear back from her. She is at Kim with a Y, Scally.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!
I rolled a 20.